Hello, this is Tracy Matthewman, publisher of WomenCanDoAnything.com, and I'm here today with Evelyn Hannon of Journey Woman. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Okay, so you have a wonderful little business online, and it's called Journey Woman. And I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about how you got started and a little bit about what your business actually does.
Okay, it'll be my pleasure. First of all, I'll tell you that Journey Woman is the largest online travel resource for women on the internet. And we also have a newsletter that I send out to 66,000 women in 100 countries. Now, how did this all start? It started because I fell in love with my future husband when I was 14, and he was the wrong husband to fall in love with. Because at 42, we were divorced, and I was left in a little puddle in my house, crying my eyes out. And one of the big things that I was worried about was, oh my God, I traveled with my father when I was young. I traveled with my husband when I was older. But I should say this was 1982. And in 1982, women were not traveling on their own. And I was petrified that I was never going to get a chance to see more of the world. And the more I worried about it, the more I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to do something. I'm going to give myself a challenge. And I asked myself to go out on my own to Europe for 35 days. Don't ask why 35 days. I don't know. That's the number I picked. And I said, if you go out there and you can do it, then and you don't die, it'll probably be a metaphor for the rest of your life. So to make a long story short, I went out and I did get to Europe. I was by myself for 35 days and I did cry a lot. But I did meet people along the way, and I began to kind of experiment with what it feels like to be alone and still be able to go out there and explore. And I was really an anomaly because people weren't used to seeing I wasn't an older woman, I was 42 then, traveling by themselves. Mm-hmm. But I got the travel bug. And when I came home, I decided that it was time to turn my life around. I went back to school and got a degree in film and television. For the 5 years that I was at university, I traveled on my own for 2 months every summer while I studied at different universities in Europe. And at the end of it all, I thought, okay, I've learned quite a bit about what it's like to travel alone as a woman and why it's so different, and decided that I was going to start a small magazine. I call it a mini magazine. It was 20 pages. It was only printed without any photographs. It didn't have a colored cover, but I put it on the newsstands anyway. It was called Journey Woman, and I started it up with $1,000 that I received from my daughter, who was writing a book at that point, and I was editing the book. She gave me the $1,000 I had never published before, but that wasn't going to stop me. I just said, okay, I think I know how to do this. And I went out and put this on the newsstand.
And so did you write everything yourself?
I wrote everything by myself, mm-hmm. except I did ask women that I know to give me their women-centered travel tips. And don't forget, we were all beginners at that point.
Right.
What we didn't know was that we were at the beginning of a wave where in the 80s, women were starting to divorce their husbands. More women were going into the job market and getting higher paid jobs. More women were deciding they wanted to stay single. And then there was that whole unknown, the widows or the older women whose husbands didn't want to travel anymore because they'd been traveling all along. But women had been home taking care of their children. And at 55 and 60, they were raring to go. And so suddenly there was this whole market of women. And once we started feeding them all these tantalizing tips and bits, they too said, I want to go. And for me, that was incredible because my mandate from the very beginning was not necessarily to run a business, but it was to inspire women to travel safely and well. And if there was any woman out there who was crying their eyes out the way I had done when my husband left, then I wanted to hold her hand via this magazine, and I wanted to give her the courage to get out there and travel.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. It's a wonderful thing to empower women like that. I know through some of the stuff I do as well. Okay, so then how did you transition from the print version to the online version?
Well, after 3 years of doing this, the thing that I couldn't do, the thing that I loved to do was to travel. This, anybody who knows anything about publishing will understand that I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I think I went to bed 2 o'clock at night because I didn't have enough money to have an advertising person or an editor or anyone to write. So basically, I was doing this all by myself. And after 3 years, that was it. I just said, I can't do it anymore. But after 3 years of publishing, I had all of these juicy tips. I had such good, heartfelt stories. And I hated to lose it. So it came to me in the middle of the night. And honestly, I still don't know. It was like my fairy godmother was standing over me, because really, at that point, if I must have been about, maybe I was in my early 50s, I said to my kids, well, I'm going to put this on the internet. It was 1994. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And my kids just looked at each other and rolled their eyes, and they said, Mommy, you're digitally deficient. You don't even know how to put on a microwave. How are you going to do this? And I said to them, you watch me. But inside I'm thinking, oh, my God. I don't even know the difference between sending out an email and finding a website. I knew nothing about the internet except that it was out there. And if it was out there, that meant that women around the world will eventually be able to read it. Again, I say I didn't think of it as a business. I asked around for someone. I didn't know that it would be called a webmaster, but someone who knew how to put these things up. I found one young guy, and of course, being a young guy, he was very excited about all the bells and whistles I would have on this website, and it was 1997 then.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no bells and whistles. I want the print bigger. Because at that point in my 50s, I understood that I didn't want tiny print. Uh-huh. I thought, if women are like me, they're going to know very little about the internet, so let's make moving around the site very, very simple.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have high-speed internet then, so it took forever for a website to load, and I said, I'm not putting photographs on, because then, you know, it's going to take forever and people will become discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever asked for a password. I thought, why should I do this? I know I could save email addresses and sell them to marketing people, but I said, my job is to inspire women to travel safely. Why would I give their email addresses away?
Mm-hmm.
So even while the New York Times was collecting email addresses, and before our whole world now of never selling names. You could sell names then, but I never, ever did it.
Mm, wow. So you really were a forerunner in the internet, newsletter style site.
That's right. I think they called me, in books, they called me an early adapter of the web.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay. They also said, oh, my God, she's fabulous because she thinks outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could have taken advantage, but I'm an honest. I'm too honest, I guess, because I said to them, no, don't give me these awards for thinking outside the box. The truth is, I was never in the box. I have no idea of what the internet is about. So I'm making up my own rules in order to be able to get these messages out to women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so inspiring. So you had mentioned to me that you've been in quite a number, and I've seen you in a couple of these publications, but you've also been on some pretty recognizable television shows. Can you tell us a bit about that? How these people, like, it wasn't like you were out there trying to get publicity. They actually were coming to you. So can you tell us a bit about that, and also why you think these huge media outlets were so attracted to you?
Well, I think first and foremost, they were attracted to me because there was nothing out there like what I was doing. There were some big sites. I think it was American Airlines that was trying to do something for women travelers. But the truth is, it was corporate. And corporate, their whole idea is to sell. They have a hidden message, and so they're not giving their all. They're just trying to send you to places where you'll spend money or where you'll become a customer. Mm-hmm. I wasn't anywhere near being a businesswoman. My whole idea, again, was to inspire women to travel safely and well, to know that there's safety in numbers, to make people unafraid to go off by themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that the media took me under their wing because they were so excited to read this pure material that didn't have an ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were also intrigued with this wave of women because they saw that more and more and more women were beginning to follow me. And because more and more women were beginning to follow me, and a lot of them were journalists who were travelers, they began writing about me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I was very naive. So I would be, say on a Saturday morning, I remember this so clearly because it was the first really big one. My girlfriend called me at about 9 o'clock in the morning. She said, "Have you seen the Globe and Mail? There's a whole story about you." Now, this was done by Russell Smith, a columnist for the Globe and Mail. He never called me to interview me. He just found the website and loved it. And so he wrote a complete column about it. Well, you know, the Globe and Mail reaches a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And other journalists began to call me. I like to tell the story about sitting at my desk, figuring out how I'm going to get all this work done. And an email comes in from People magazine. And It's a surreal experience because
did you almost think it wasn't like it was a spam at one point?
No, I didn't. I thought it was maybe a story about People magazine. I didn't think it was for me, you know.
Okay.
But People magazine, okay, it intrigued me, and I opened it up, and here was this guy in Chicago who said, "I want to interview you for People magazine." I called him back so quickly. The guy was killing himself laughing on the other end. He said, "I've never had someone answer me so fast." But I explained that, listen, People magazine has never called me before. And I remember them sending me someplace on Queen Street for to have photographs taken. And I was photographed surrounded by antique suitcases. I didn't know if that was a metaphor for my age or whether they were just talking about travel. But I saw the bill on his desk that it cost him $400 to rent those suitcases for the travel shoot, and I thought, oh my God, this is, you know, then it seemed like so much money to put around me for this shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember sitting and having him photograph me and in my mind saying, "Oh my God, it's People magazine. Oh my God." So anyway, there is the People magazine story. Another time I got a note from the New York Times, and this was a gentleman who runs... he was head of business in New York Times. He gave me three columns, and he talked about all the other travel. I think he talked about American Airlines then, and he said, "They think they know how to do it. You want to know who really knows how to do it? Go and look at Evelyn Hannon's journeywoman.com site." And I said to him, I was willing to give him my firstborn, who at that point I think was maybe 30, And he started to laugh, and he said, "No thanks, I have one of my own, and she's giving me enough trouble." So, but anyway, it was an amazing interview. Mm-hmm. And another one that stands out in my mind is being at my desk and getting a phone call from Good Morning America. That's a cool one. Mm-hmm. And they said that, you know, we want you to come to New York and to be interviewed. And, of course, I think I didn't eat for the full week before I went because I was so nervous. And even I remember being in the green room and thinking, I am going to faint. I'm never going to be able to give them travel tips. And so I said to my intern in the most authoritative voice possible, "Before every interview, I meditate. And could you please bring me to a room where I can relax and meditate because I'm going to be on very shortly?" And she said, "Oh, yes, okay." And she took me to a room, and I sat down and I prayed. I said, "God, please let me get through this." That was my that was my meditation. But I remember a high point being my makeup person was from Canada, and she was the makeup person for Peter Jennings when he was alive. And we had such a lovely discussion, and she said, "I know you're going to be terrific, and I'm coming down to watch you." And she did. She was in the audience when I went on, and I remember that so clearly. I also remember walking down Fifth Avenue and people stopping me and saying, "You were just on Good Morning America, weren't you?" And
wow.
I said, "Yes, yes."
And oh, man.
And do you have time for one more?
Yeah, I'd love to hear one more.
Okay. The last one was I got a phone call from Time magazine. I think I'm thinking back now to 2000 or 2001. And they said, "We're going to ask you three questions, and we might interview you. You'll hear about it in 10 days. And I put down the phone, and I had a little chat with my girlfriend who was there. We were going out for a walk, and before we left, the phone rang again and said, "This is Time magazine. We've decided, yes, absolutely, we want to interview you, and we're sending a journalist down." And I think they sent the journalist down in 3 days. And again, it was surreal. Here is New York Time magazine sitting opposite me on my sofa in my living room. And I had no idea, she had no idea when it was going to go in. And I then went to visit my mom, who lives in Florida, and I called in for my messages. This was probably about a month later, and there was no space. All my message space had been taken, and it was all CNN called, "You just made the news in Toronto. Could we have an interview with you?" I forget how many people called. And so I called the first person because I couldn't figure out what it was, and they said, "Didn't you hear? You were chosen one of the 100 innovative thinkers of this new century." And I was absolutely in shock. And I mm-hmm. grabbed the car, ran out to the supermarket, and got the magazine. And sure enough, there I am in living color. And I couldn't resist it. I said to the young guy in front of me in line, "Doesn't this person look like me? I mean, it's absolutely uncanny. There's such a resemblance." And he looked at me and he looked at the magazine. He said, "Oh, my God, this is sick." He said, "This is exactly like you." And I never told him that it was me. I was so excited. I needed to get it out of my system. So those are my good stories about media. And there are thousands more, but those are the main ones.
Oh, that's so funny. That's amazing. It must have just extremely boosted your subscriber list and
It just went off the charts, and mm-hmm. suddenly there was 1,000 people coming every day, then 2,000 people coming every day. And you can imagine, it was a milestone when we registered over 1 million visitors in 1 year. And those visitors were reading 5 and 6 pages, so we were getting a lot of coverage.
Wow.
And basically, what was it about? It was networking. Women telling other women, women sending their tips in. I always said to them, "Look, I'm giving you all of this free. It's my pleasure to give it to you, to pay to put it up there. All I ask in return is one gift from you over the full year, and that is to send me one woman-centered travel tip. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Not everybody, but every day someone says, here is my contribution.
It
says something really great for women as well,
yeah,
and their
really
ability
does.
To network.
And it really does create that community feeling, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Great. Okay, well, wow. That's some big media. you've been doing this hard copy since early 90s, was it?
Hard copy I did from 94 to 97,
okay.
And then went online in 1997.
Okay. So what is it throughout that period of time up to today, what is it that you think has been the underlying factor that has made you successful?
I would think it's because I never lost my grassroots feel for it. I never charged for any of my services. I never put my advertising rates up and said, well, now I'm so fancy schmancy, you're going to have to pay a whole bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that most of my advertisers were women who were struggling, who were starting on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to gouge them and take more money than I should? So they always knew that they could count on me. They always knew that they could pay me in 4 installments, even if it was $200 and they didn't have the money,
mm-hmm.
it was $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, I never kept track of it. I just said to them, okay, pay me when you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think in all of the years I've been working, maybe 3 people didn't pay me, and one of those was a man. So we're not even going to count it as a woman's, you know, not that I'm discounting men, not at all, but how women will work hard and make sure that I get my money. They weren't going to leave me hanging there.
Right, right.
So I think it's, and also when women like something, they tell their friends. If they don't like it, they tell their friends as well. And
mm-hmm.
And it basically has been word of mouth, because I never had the dollars to really have advertising campaigns.
Mm-hmm. And even the media that you have it again was free, and it was word of mouth through the media. So
exactly. And
you've grown your entire business through word of mouth.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And we both know, and all women entrepreneurs understand, that as quickly as someone likes you, that's as quickly as they will dislike you if they see a reason to.
True.
So, you know, you've got to be really careful about how you handle your business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, talk about handling your business. We just talked earlier on some of the tools that you use. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about what you've used in the past and what you're using today. Because you
okay.
seem to be using fairly, you know, like you're probably a leader in your area using some of these tools. So maybe you can just expand a bit on that.
All right. Well, what are some of the techniques? I think I talked a little bit about that just now, about always listening to the people who are supporting you. I don't think I have missed very many emails, and I get hundreds of emails. But if someone needs some help, I'm always going to send them in the right direction. And a lot of my women might be older women, and they don't know how to use the internet. I will explain all of that. So basically what I'm saying is I'm taking a couple of hours every day to be personal, to look at what my readership wants and to give them the answers that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind putting notes about other companies into my newsletter. My newsletter, as I explained at the top, goes out to 66,000 women in 100 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone says to me, I need a break, would you talk about this? I will say, well, I need some background. And if I can see that these people can use a break, I am going to do my best to put the word out there for them. Mm-hmm. And usually they do the same for me, whatever it may be. So again, we're networking and we're cooperating. I've run competitions, again, asking for their best travel tales, their best travel stories. And I think basically that. I never did any big, big campaigns. It was always on a very personal level. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think that personal level is the one that counts. You can have huge advertising campaigns, but once it's over, it's over. Mm-hmm. But when you get to people's hearts, it remains there. You don't lose them.
Yeah. It's right? The relationship.
It's the relationship. That's the exact word. That's right. Thank you, Tracy. And now, again, my kids are laughing at me, but I spent one full week learning how to use Twitter. And everybody says, well, you can't make money using Twitter and you're better off trying to sell your classified advertising. And I said, no, because I see it as the wave of today and of the future. Twitter is going, it may not be around in the degree it is today or in the way it's being used today, but it is part of the wave of the future, and I really recognize that. Mm-hmm. And so spent a lot of time on it. I have, when someone has a question, if someone posts something that says, I'm going to Prague and I need some help, I will then go and look at what my articles are, and then I'll say, well, you might like Female Friendly Prague. Here is the URL. Mm-hmm. That's all I do. And it was very funny because I did that for someone not knowing who she was. And one of the tips, the first tip was go to the opera. Well, what I didn't know is that this woman is an opera diva, and she is going to perform in the opera. In Prague, and she wrote me back and she said, well, I don't think I need your opera tip, but I need all the other ones. Thank you very much. So wow. You never know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. I met someone who wrote a wonderful article because she is a specialist on expats and how you would get into a new culture, the problems of becoming comfortable in a new culture. And she offered to write an article for me. Mm-hmm. More readers in Japan are reading about me because I befriended someone from Japan on Twitter. So I'm seeing that between 300 and 500 more people every day are coming to the site. Now, maybe a third of that would have been just natural progression, but I think a lot of it is coming from Twitter. And I believe that not everything you do needs to make money, but it's, again, as you say, about building relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so how many followers do you have now?
I have 1,200 and something.
Okay. And how did you get those? Like, how did you initially start off getting followers?
Okay, what I did was I registered myself, and then I began following people in travel. That's what I thought would be interesting, to follow people in travel, and then to follow people in the mummy category, because my daughter is Erica M. Mm-hmm. And she has the website Yummy Mummy Club, and I'm the resident granny on Yummy Mummy Club. So I'm writing Aging Disgracefully, an Aging Disgracefully blog for her. So I thought, well, okay, I want to target the mothers and I want to target the travelers. And slowly I began to tell them I was following them. Then they followed me back. And then on Fridays, people follow Fridays. People suggest other people that they follow and that they think give good advice. And you pick up new followers. And And then every morning I wake up and I see, oh, five new people following me. And I go to see who they are and mm-hmm. whether I want to follow them back.
Mm-hmm. And so you also do this tip of the day thing through Twitter.
I do.
Right?
I do. I believe in Twitter, you can't be all about talking about yourself and what you want from other people and selling things.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is give. Again, give to mm-hmm. the community before you expect the community to give back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I give a journey woman tip every day. And they'd be, you know, anything from traveling with children to traveling yourself. Today I talked about if you wear a very small purse, a shoulder purse across your chest,
mm-hmm.
keep just your regular, like your daily spending money, just today's money in it, and then put a jacket, a sweatshirt, or whatever over that.
Mm-hmm.
Pickpockets will hate you because they'll never be able to get to your purse.
So that's our tip from you today.
That was a tip for today.
Great. Okay, so what are some other words of advice you could give to women who are looking to build either an online business or to expand their business to the online presence, with an online presence?
I think the first thing, I keep going back to it, but I think that it is the most important, that you want to give before you take. If you want to establish relationships before you can expect those relationships to pay off for you. And don't be impatient. You can do it and do it and do it, and one day you wake up and you see that you're part of a huge community who are willing to support you and willing to help you. And I find that other sites that are run, and your audience is probably going to be a younger audience. These are people who are starting to build online businesses. And so they're going to be using video and bulletin boards and much more high tech. And that's good because you're speaking to your audience. But don't forget that the internet is huge, and it's not only young people that you want to attract. You want older people as well. Remember the baby boomers. They are huge now, and they're going to be huge now. So make at least part of your site available to these people who will not be as tech savvy. So if you have video and they're not equipped to get video, put some photographs up as well, so it makes it easier for them. Don't
mm-hmm.
make them download programs in order to be able to read what you're doing. Make
right.
it clear and make it simple for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, well, maybe just before we wrap it up, you could just share your website and how people can subscribe to your mailing list.
It will be my pleasure.
So
Journey Woman is simply journeywoman.com. Make sure that you remember it's singular. A lot of people go to journeywomen.com and you're not going to get anything. So it's journeywoman.com. And right at the website, there's a place where you can click to subscribe to the newsletter. We don't ask very much. We ask for your email. We don't even ask for your first name. We ask for your email address, the city that you live in, and the country that you live in, because that's good for our statistics.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to something that I didn't talk about, but it is another adventure of mine, and it is all totally free, and we have over 20,000, and probably more this week, over 20,000 women, again, from around the world, at hermail.net. Don't go to hermail.com because that's a porn site. So hermail.net, and that's a directory of women willing to mentor other women as they come to their part of the world. It's all free, and thousands of women have helped each other, and they have remained good friends via the Journey Woman website.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know about that site. Well, thanks
mm-hmm.
for sharing that. Okay, Evelyn, well, thank you so much for your time today and sharing everything you've gone through, and it's been very inspiring. And also, even myself personally, I've picked up a few little tidbits that I'm going to now take to the next step. So you're a great inspiration, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tracy. It is my absolute pleasure to be able to chat with you today.